Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Friday. Weekend is here. Hope you guys are having a great one. Have a safe trip home. And if you missed the first hour, talk a little Rockets, probably as much as we want to talk, because it's a pretty depressing subject.
It really is, but we got to. It is what it is. You know?
Yeah. We also mixed in a few other things, a little Matt Forte talk and just some general poker talk from the tournament last night. So just a good time. And lots more for you this hour. Guess who joins us at 5:30? You'll never guess.
R.J. Bell.
R.J. Bell will join us.
I knew it. And maybe we'll get to actually talk to him for the full segment.
Yes, I have a funny story for you, because one of the guys I've been trying to get on the show since he went on the other station when we were in San Francisco was the mayor of our fine city. And so I was going to record an interview this morning, but he had to move it, and he wanted to do it at 5:40 today. And you know what I said?
Nope.
No way in hell I'm bumping R.J. Bell. Never.
Yeah.
Not happening. So I'm a little upset now. We're playing. We're going to see who bumps who now, because he's bumped me twice as far as I'm concerned. So I owe him one more. But no way I'm bumping R.J.
No.
R.J.'s a god, man. He's a gambling god. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I wanted to ask you about a guy, because I know you like this guy, getting back to some NFL free agent guys.
Okay.
Looks like Bruce Irvin is not going to be back with Seattle.
Right.
They don't want to pay him what it's going to cost. He's going to hit the open market. I think that's a guy who's going to get overpaid. Did we hit? We hit this? All right.
Nice.
Nicely done.
My man. Thank you.
What are our odds here? Oh, okay.
Nice.
All right. There we go. That'll buy some 50-cent beer next week when I can drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll make up for the hundo I already dropped on Oak Lawn today. Maybe. Anyway, that's a guy who I think somebody's going to pay a lot of money for, and I think he's a perfect fit in Seattle, but I don't know that he's going to be that effective somewhere else.
I think he's really good, but I'm with you. I think that he's, if you put him on the Texans, he's Whitney Merciless.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily advocating the Texans. I'm talking about general.
I'm just throwing out that, you know, he's a great player in that system.
Yeah,
and he's a great player with the other players that surround him. And, you know, him saying that if you put him on the Texans, he's Whitney Merciless, that's not like...
That's not saying he's garbage.
No.
Actually, Whitney Merciless had more sacks than he did this year.
Right. Yeah. So I'm saying, but I'm saying it's not much of a difference. If you put him on a team like Tennessee, he's going to be wasted.
And I think that's what's going to wind up happening. Somebody like that is going to sign him for a bunch of
money. Well, good for him.
And, yeah, I just...
You know, I always say that about those. Yeah. Good for you. If you can get it, get it. It's like when Albert Haynesworth signed with the Redskins, and you knew it wasn't going to work, but he got so much money that he had to go. It's okay, cool, good luck.
But it is interesting to me. There's certain teams that I don't really want to sign your guys. Like, I'm not going to sign defensive guys off the Seahawks, because I think they pick guys who fit their system. And I'm not going to sign any Patriot, because they're never going to be as good in your system as they are there.
Well, I agree with that,
if Gronk were suddenly available,
or if Earl Thomas or Richard Sherman came available.
Yeah, although, again, I think Richard Sherman is one that, so what did we get for that? $18.70.
Look at that.
Nice.
My man.
All right.
We owe that guy a beer.
Yeah, hell yeah. I only need 82 more bucks to get back to even today.
Congratulations. You're on your way.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I've been in a little bit of a slump with the ponies lately, and it's not – it really isn't bad handicapping. It's just my every bet I'm making is just a little off, which you go through sometimes. But it'll turn around. I'm not too worried. It's these things come and go. But yeah, that's what I needed. Somebody else to just come and give me a dollar.
There you go.
See what I can lose that on here. Some great stuff coming up. Anyway, no, I think yeah, there are exceptions. But I'll be honest. I don't think if Richard Sherman would still be great on another team, but I don't think he'd be Richard Sherman. I mean, I think part of why he's as good as he is because they use him perfectly.
Because he's standing next to Earl Thomas helps, too.
Well, I think that's all part of it, but I also think part of it is they use those guys perfectly, just like the Patriots do with their guys. They look for guys that can be better than what you think they are, and they turn out being better than what you think they are. And, you know, I as great as he is, that's not a guy that I think would – I mean, you could sign him, but it'd be –
well,
you're not going to
pay,
get –
You'd pay the top dollar, and he's on another team, he's probably not going to deliver the same way he has with Seattle.
No, but he'd still be very good.
Right.
And I've heard this question. I don't know if I want to get into this anymore because we've talked so much Rockets already, but somebody asked, do you think it's time for Daryl Morey to go? I think we need to see what happens with the rest of the season before you can...
Do you think Daryl Morey will ever go, though?
I
mean, do you think that suddenly they're going to be like, you know what, we this just isn't working out?
I don't think so.
I don't either. I think he's feeling here as long as he wants to
pretty,
be here.
Yeah, although...
Unless it just bottoms out tanks.
And right. And
they're one of those teams that haven't really done that.
They're never bad enough to say, wow, this guy's awful.
Like you said, about as bad as it gets is when they're picking 16th, 17th and taking bummy dudes. I mean, so that's...
And almost every, let's be honest, a lot of people take bummy dudes.
In that 13-16, yeah.
It's just you're hoping for the best, and that's why you look at the teams that are so good, and right now there's two of them, and you look at how they draft and where they got some of those guys that became perfect parts. I mean, so much of evaluation is, you know, will this guy fit with what we do? And the great teams do that better than anybody.
Now, to his credit, the guy did make a couple deals, and while obviously drafting has not been a strength, you're a little bit handicapped by where you're drafting at.
Right.
But the guy did get James Harden and for basically, you know, some magic beans.
Right.
And he talked, and it didn't work out, but he convinced Dwight Howard to come play here. He also didn't overpay for Chandler Parsons. So, I mean, there's some things that the guy's done well, even recently, but... At some point, maybe you need a new guy overseeing things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's – that's a tougher one because I don't think any of us saw it coming this year that it was going to be this bad.
I knew there would be regression. I didn't know that they'd be a borderline playoff team.
Yeah, even you can't say that you saw them being – under 500 at this point.
No way. I thought that they would be – I thought they would be outside the top five seeds – or top four seeds, but I was thinking five or six and still very competitive. That's clearly not the case. I mean, they might miss the playoffs. Getting to the five seed at this point would be a miracle. So, yeah, even my lowest expectations of what they would do, they've done worse.
And it'll be interesting to see how patient Les Alexander is here because they certainly weren't patient with their coach.
No,
and
clearly that wasn't the issue.
No, and
not to say that. I mean, listen, I didn't think Kevin McHale was a great coach anyway.
I
don't think you lost.
No,
a lot
I was never a big fan of that. But it's not like you went out and brought in Jeff Van Gundy or somebody like that, where you could say, all right, maybe a change of culture here. You hired his assistant, so and it's not like JB Bickerstaff has done anything where you look at him and say, well, this guy knows what he's doing. So I mean, that's the question then becomes. All right, if you're going to rebuild this thing from scratch around James Harden, do you want Daryl Morey doing that? That's what it comes down to.
I mean, let me ask you this. Is it, you know, and you mentioned it earlier, maybe it's better to make a coaching change, and a big splash coaching change could maybe do more for you than a big splash player move.
Right.
Luke Walton is, and granted, he's in Golden State, but that guy's become one of the hottest coaching commodities or coaching prospects out there. Well, what about offering him the job?
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I mean, apparently the Knicks are trying to court him.
And the Knicks are going to want him. The Lakers are going to want him. Everybody's going to want him. Why not get the jump now?
And you know what the Knicks and the Lakers are behind the Rockets on? Talent. You know, the Rockets can say, well, this is what we got. I mean, listen, it's not the best in the world, but it's something you can maybe work with. The Lakers right now, good luck with that. I mean, that's a total mess. Yeah,
but basically, if you go there, you're hoping that, oh, we're going to be in on Kevin Durant and all these guys.
Well, and the other thing is, when Kobe's gone, the Lakers are going to be overrun with money to spend, and all free agents want to go to the Lakers.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the selling. And plus, he played there. I mean,
there's
a lot of selling points on that job. But that job's not being offered to him yet. Maybe offer it now. You know what I mean?
I would. I mean, at this point, it's not like you're keeping JB Bickerstaff anyway.
No.
If that's going to be your coach,
no.
Then, all right, congratulations, well done.
He's done worse than McHale did.
Yeah, and that's why you don't do these things at this stage of the season. All right, we are going to take a very quick break.
I want to talk some basketball Hall of Fame.
Okay.
When we get back. There were some names that surprised me, and namely one that was left off that surprised me. I want to get your thoughts on it and the thoughts about Rudy Tomjanovich as well on that not being on that list. We'll talk about that.
I might have an opinion on that.
Okay. Curious to hear it.
Maybe.
Okay.
I might have an opinion. All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. If I stopped, it would make the show. Can't keep up with my rhythm, though.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Sam Houston Race Park. Come on out. Food trucks are here. They're warming up. I got to get out there before anybody gets in a line.
Yeah, though. True.
But all right, so let's get to this. I know you wanted to talk about this.
Okay. So. First of all, let me start out by saying the Basketball Hall of Fame is a joke in general.
It is.
Most Hall of Fames are. Basketball, or at least they have something about them that makes it a joke. The basketball one's pretty bad. You know, Lefty Driesell, you're talking about a guy who played, you know, I mean, he was inducted to the College Basketball Hall of Fame a long time ago. Only NCAA history, or coach in NCAA history to win 100 games at four different schools.
How many Final Fours did he go to?
He led four different schools to the Final Four.
Okay.
Eighth among coaches in all-time victories, 786 and 394. Won two out of three games that he coached. That guy's probably in.
Yeah, you know, but I saw him coach. I never thought of him as a great coach. There's a lot of guys on this list, I don't think. And I guess for the Basketball Hall of Fame, it doesn't matter. It's not really about being great. It's just being about, well, did you coach on the East Coast?
Right.
Did you play on the East Coast? So, okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say about – I don't know how they decide what referees they put in. Daryl Garrettson is nominated. He's a finalist. I don't know anything about how they decide if you've been – if you've warranted being in the Hall of Fame. I'll be honest, I don't like the idea of putting referees in the Hall of Fame because...
Yeah, they should have their own Hall of Fame.
I don't even know if they should. I mean, that's...
Should be the Referee Hall of Fame.
I don't... who would go there?
Referees.
Robert Hughes is a Texas guy. He... 47 years he coached in Texas.
That's a long time.
During segregation and integration. And he was an advocate for integration. High school coaching record of 1,333 and 247. Won five state championships. But again, I mean, this is a high school coach. I don't know how he ranks against other guys. Those numbers sound impressive, but I don't know. Let's get into the meat of this thing. Oh, I guess we've got one more that I don't really. John McClendon.
Okay.
Now, I think most of this, he was the first African American coach to do a lot of things, including winning a national tournament in 1954. He won a national championship in 57, won an AAU championship. He was the first African American coach in a professional league, which was the ABA at the time. He's already in the Hall of Fame as a contributor. Now he's a finalist as a coach. So I don't know if he's going to be really sad if he doesn't get in. Let's get to the meat on these bones.
Cheryl Swoops.
Oh, I forgot. She's probably in for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
the women's thing.
Based on what women do.
I didn't get into the women, but as far as women's basketball players go, Cheryl Swoops is in. If she's not in, they shouldn't even have women in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
Okay. Eddie Sutton. That's a guy who, you know, I guess most of his greatest success came before I was watching college basketball. Like, I guess he was really great in the 70s and early 80s. But that dude coached for a long, long time. 37 years in coaching, he had one losing season. That's pretty impressive. And he went to 3 Final Fours. He is 7th among D1 coaches in all-time victories. 4 different schools in the tournament. He's a 4-time National Coach of the Year. That stuff alone makes me think he's a lock. But, again, that's a lot of compiling of numbers. I don't know.
That's just being around for a long time is what it is. But, yeah, it wouldn't bother me if he got in. You know, but I remember his teams being really good when I was growing up watching them. But I don't, you know, I just also remember, you know, it's such a different era where you could cheat a lot easier.
Okay. What about Bo Ryan? Bo Ryan does not have the same body of work that Eddie Sutton does. And he also doesn't have any national championships.
Yeah, that strikes me as no.
That's a no for me, too.
Why is he a finalist?
He's got a Division III. He's got several. He's got 4 Division III championships.
Okay.
But that doesn't that doesn't mean anything to me.
I got a bunch of City Rec League championships. I mean, it's the same damn thing.
Okay. Tom Izzo?
Yes.
Tom Izzo, to me, is a lock.
Yeah. Of all the names you mentioned, that's one guy that I guarantee I'd vote for.
Okay. Here's the players. Shaq is a sure thing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Shaq is a sure thing. I think we can agree on that. To me, you might disagree with this. To me, Allen Iverson is a sure thing.
No, I don't disagree.
Okay, good. So Shaq and Allen Iverson, to me, are sure things.
Especially, again, I go by who's already in there. And I don't want to sound like I'm in any way denigrating the guy, but if Calvin Murphy's in the Hall of Fame, Allen Iverson's in the Hall of Fame.
He's got to be.
My opinion.
Kevin Johnson. And listen, I know Kevin Johnson played a big role in keeping the Kings in Sacramento. That's really cool for the city of Sacramento.
Woo.
Kevin Johnson was a good player.
Oh, no, he was a peanut brittle player who got hurt so often that, that guy was not a Hall of Famer.
Kevin Johnson.
Not even close. Not even close.
He is a 3-time All-Star, played 12 years in the NBA. Again, good career, not a Hall of Famer. And it bothers me to no end that Kevin Johnson is a finalist on this list.
Yeah, he shouldn't be anywhere near that list.
And Chris Webber, who changed the culture of college basketball completely and had a better NBA career than Kevin Johnson on top of it. Chris Webber, to me, would be way better of a candidate than Kevin Johnson.
Yeah, I'm not sure about either one, but I agree. I'd take Webber over there first.
I don't understand. I mean, this Kevin Johnson thing is fascinating to me. And again, we'll get to this in a minute. You can either be in as you can be looked at as a player, a coach, or a contributor. And if they want to look at Kevin Johnson for what he's done to keep basketball in Sacramento, maybe as a contributor, as a player, he's not Hall of Fame worthy.
No, as a contributor, he's not Hall of Fame worthy either.
I don't really think so either. To me, Chris Webber is way closer. And I don't know if Chris Webber is obviously not the same kind of lock that Shaq and Allen Iverson are. Although, again, I say, if you remember when the Fab Five were going, Chris Webber he changed college basketball completely.
But, I mean, if you're doing a true Hall of Fame, which is supposed to be the elite of the elite, I don't think he belongs.
Okay.
But
even counting his college career?
Yes, even counting his college career.
Okay. Well, I think I'd have to look at some numbers. I think there's a discussion to be had on it. Kevin Johnson.
No, definitely not. But again, my standard for this is a hell of a lot higher than what their standard is.
Right.
So based on their standards, yes. Based on my standards, not a prayer.
Okay, I'm curious what you think about Rudy Tomjanovich not being a finalist.
I think he should at least be a finalist. I think from a as a player, he was the best Rocket when, and that was during the era when I was actually a Rockets ball boy, so I got to see all these games. He was the best Rocket on that team for several years. Does that make him a Hall of Famer? No, but he did. He did make the All-Star team a bunch of times. He averaged over 17 points for his career. He had four seasons where he averaged over 20, and was a terrific shooter. Not a Hall of Famer. Very good player. Not a Hall of Famer.
Right.
His coaching career, you look at it.
He won two championships.
Two championships with the Olympics, and Bill Fitch gets nominated, and he's got one championship and a losing career record. How is that Hall of Fame material?
I don't know.
So, again, if I'm going to compare him to Bill Fitch, does he belong in before Bill Fitch? Absolutely. If you combine Rudy's playing career with his coaching career,
you'd make a good argument.
You make a pretty damn good argument. But I think if you're taking them both separately, I'm not quite there. Now, the only thing I would say is before Bill Fitch, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, as a coach.
All right. Well, good. I just Lamont asked earlier if you were going to get if Houston media was going to be as worked up about this as they were about Guy V. Lewis.
No, and the thing about Guy V that always set me off is he never even got nominated. And Lefty Driesell was getting nominated every year.
Right.
And if you stack those two up side by side, it's not even close. And I think I kind of feel the same way about Rudy T and Fitch, but
I think basketball let too many people in.
Well, and that's
and
it.
Then they lowered the standard of what's acceptable.
Well, and some of the people they've let in for different reasons, for like Drazen Petrovic getting in because
right.
he died, and then so many of the women's basketball players getting in. I mean, and that's not that they don't deserve it, but it's just some of the ones they let in. You start looking at, well, if this one's in, then this one has to be in. And I do think it is of all the Hall of Fames, it's the worst. And as much as we complain about baseball and pro football, there are people not in those halls that probably should be.
Right.
I don't think that's the case with the Basketball Hall of Fame. I think at this stage, pretty much anybody that should be in there is getting in. And I think it, in a lot of ways, it taints the guys who truly were the best of the best, who deserve to be in there.
Right. And I guess the way I'm looking at it is the same way as you. Based on the standards that the NBA or that the Basketball Hall of Fame has, which, by the way, the NBA should have its own Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think that would solve a lot of this.
But based on the guys that have gotten in, I think Chris Webber's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and see,
but based on if I were in charge of a Hall of Fame, Chris Webber probably wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I mean, it's pretty much the same thing I was trying to get across, was that I think the way the standards are, then, yeah. By the way, the food trucks that are out here tonight, you ready for this? I have your list.
Give it to me.
The Waffle Bus, which is already out there. What You're Craving, which is already out there. Houston's Finest Soul Food on Wheels, which is already out there, but they're not open yet. I've already checked. Custom Confections.
Damn.
Maniac Seafood. No Me Street. Mingo's Latin Kitchen. And Sky Cafe. That's a damn good collection. So come on out tonight. Check that out. Get your 50-cent beer on. We'll have a blast. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
We are back on The Blitz.
I'm
trying to get my order in here for the Houston's Finest Soul Food. So the break went by too quick. I'll do it on the next one. But Monica's going to go get it for me because she's cool. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We will get with RJ as soon as he's available. Boy, I'm going to feel really bad if I bump the mayor for RJ and RJ's not there.
Yeah.
RJ will always be there, though, at some point. Even if he's not there right away, RJ always shows up. So lots of good gambling stuff to talk about, too, because he sent us some cool stuff. The baseball win totals, which I've done very well the last 2 years on the Blue Jays. 2 years ago, the under, when they signed all those guys, and everybody had them winning the division with 90 wins. And, of course, they sucked. And then last year, they reverted and had them way too low, so I went over. And I didn't expect them to go over by that much. But there's some interesting totals, and we'll go through those whenever we do get RJ.
Yeah, I did well last year. I only played one, but it was the Yankees.
Right.
That, I mean, the Yankees haven't finished under 500 since, like, 1992, like pre-Jeter.
Yeah.
And the total last year was 80.5, and I was like, oh, well.
You know what? They're 85 this year.
Wow.
Which is a little
That's
more,
different. Right. That's a different story.
All right. Well, we do have RJ now, so we can talk about that and everything else in the gambling world. RJ Bell joins us, pregame.com, as he does every week. And RJ, I bumped the mayor of Houston for you today, so, you know, because it's your spot, buddy.
Yeah, bring it.
Well, listen, I got to be honest with you. That sounds right to me. Some listeners might think otherwise, but I'm going to just kind of say kudos.
Well, I mean, it was a no-brainer. It wasn't even something that we were going to think twice about. So,
well, is he part of the establishment, or is he an insurgent?
He's brand new.
Yeah.
All right, so who's to say?
Yeah, he just got elected. I was really ticked off that we were in San Francisco, and he went and did every other station that was there from here except for us, and I voted for the guy. So
he took you for granted.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to vote for him next time. I'm that angry.
First off, can we apologize for having you cut off last week? We were on the national network, and the clock is way more strict than what we're used to.
Well, listen, as they say on The Wire, it's all part of the game. No problem.
Oh, I was so angry.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you this, we had some good stuff for the Super Bowl. We had Denver. We had the correlation with the under. We had Peyton Manning under yards. I mean, it was a it looked like I knew what I was doing. Let's just say that.
Yeah, yeah. You do know what you're doing. It's funny because our on-site engineer here, whose name we can't say on air, said he listened to your podcast and totally cleaned up between what you and Fezzik and all those guys said on your podcast and then what we said. So that's a good thing.
And it's fun because we do our podcast. So we have an ESPN show here in Vegas 5 days a week, 1 hour a day, and we're the first local show in town. And, you know, it's great, but it's radio, you know. And the thing about radio is even a spot like yours, you know, you've got 9 minutes, 11 minutes, maybe 13 minutes. Then you got to go to a break, and it's great, but it's hard to do a deep dive. And that's the beauty of a good podcast. If you want to spend 20 minutes on one topic, you can. And that's what, you know, I think is the best way to differentiate the pregame.com podcast from the radio and other stuff is the podcasts really are a deep dive. And we'll talk, I think, a little bit about, I heard you guys as I was coming in, is the over-under win totals came out. These are the world openers, came out of the Atlantis Casino in Reno. And yesterday they came out. We actually had, and I did a 20-minute podcast with the odds maker who made the numbers, and we actually dug in to a handful of the, you know, 7 or 8 of the bigger name teams. And again, that's another example, and that's on my Twitter at RJ in Vegas, where you can do a deeper dive.
Well, let's dive into these a little bit because we were talking about it before. In the last 2 years, what I always try to look for, and 2 years ago, I took the under on the Blue Jays because they got all those guys and everybody thought they were going to be better than they were, and they were awful. And then last year, you know, when they got Donaldson, some of the other players, the number went way lower, and that was an easy over. Is there a team out there that you see this year that maybe is a little bit undervalued based on the fact that they underperformed last year and based on the expectations of last year?
Well, what seems obvious to me is if you guys wanted to make the following bet. So let's start at the very top. Highest win total. So for those who aren't bettors or don't follow it too closely, so an over-under win total is over-under a set number of wins on the season. And if, for example, the number one team, San Francisco Giants, over-under is exactly 90 wins. So if they win 91 games out of the 162, you go over. 89, you go under. Okay, makes sense. But wait a minute. The number one team is 90? But if we made a bet and said, what's the odds that any Major League Baseball team is going to go over 90, I would make that a huge favorite, humongous favorite, that at least one would. So it kind of goes to show you that, you know, there's about 10 teams between 85 and 90 with the win total. A handful of them are going to have really good seasons. Maybe one or even two might win 100 games. but you just don't know which team it is. So I find that to be fascinating. And it also lends itself to, you know, a team, and I'll give you an example, I think maybe a little underrated, the Red Sox. 85.5 is the win total. It really wouldn't be that much of an upset for this Red Sox team to win 95 games. It would be a modest variation. And I think teams that typically take the long view. I'm always suspicious of baseball teams who make trades that have, you know, perceived one-year value, but they're sacrificing their future for that. And to me, the best teams are teams like the Cardinals that never do that. They're fourth at 87.5 wins. So it's Giants, Cubs, Mets, Cardinals are the top four. And then there's a bunch of teams tied at 87 wins. But when does St. Louis ever make a trade? Not that they don't make trades, but when do they ever make a trade that feels like they're sacrificing the future? And to me, those are the teams that reload, are the teams that you just never know if it's going to be their year, but they have a much better chance of being their year than the teams that make trades that maybe help this year but hurt them the next year. So I would also put the Red Sox into that category, and over 85.5, I think, would be one of the bets I like.
Well, I think, you know, you're saying with the teams like the Red Sox, I think the Yankees are in that same group, the Tigers to an extent, the Angels, teams that are consistently doing well. I think you've got a much better – you've got to have a much better feeling playing teams like that, the Cardinals, of course, than you would especially playing a number like 89 on the Cubs, who were a different team last year, but they're still the Cubs. And that team has won less than 89 games way more often than they've won 89 games over the last 10, 15 years. And you're basically buying into a one-year deal on those guys from what they did last season. Same with the Astros, I guess.
I agree with the Cubs specifically. And I also think the Cubs are a rare team. And we always talk about the premiums on the most popular teams. But baseball only has a handful of teams that people like, bettors like enough to have a premium on. The Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Cubs would be the three that really jump out at me. So I'm always going to be a little skeptical of anything over or positive about the Cubs because of that premium. One other approach, I would say, in the most macro generic sense, big picture sense, teams that made the playoffs last year that got beat in the short series, those are the kind of teams that there's a lot of luck in that. I mean, really, the difference between the Pirates and what Kansas City did is a couple of games, sometimes one game, in a given situation. And you got to give a Kansas City credit for going all the way, but really, they could have lost the game early and it would have changed everything. So I think in general, the teams that win it or make the World Series, there's so much luck in the Major League Baseball postseason that if you downgrade just a little or be a little skeptical of the two World Series participants, especially the winner, and look a little optimistically at the teams eliminated early in the playoffs, especially the one game or whatever, to me, there's probably some macro logic to that. Doesn't mean any given team is going to be a good over bet, but if you start with teams like the Pirates looking for overs, I think that's a good place to start.
One more team I want to ask you about before we move on here, but what about a team like the Orioles, which had been pretty consistent until last year? They regressed a little bit. Now you're getting a number that's under 500. Is there some value in that, in going in the over on a team like that?
I think the thing you can't forget is if you look at the rankings or the win totals, Giants, Cubs, Mets, Cardinals, Kansas City, Dodgers, Pirates, Blue Jays, Nationals, is it feels like a power ranking. It feels like, okay, Giants are considered the best team, Cubs second, Mets third, but it's really not. It's a combination between how good the teams are, which is part of it, and combined with their division, because you play so many games in division. And I think you've always, whenever you're betting on or against or over or under a given team, you're really saying the opposite about the division as a whole. So if you bet over Baltimore, well, you're saying the AL East is maybe not as good as people think. Doesn't mean there can't be a good team in there, but just in general, how do you think those three teams are going to perform if you added up their three win totals and said, all right, do you like over under that number for all three teams? And if you really like over on those three teams, it's hard to like over on the fourth team. So I don't have a great feel for Baltimore itself, but the AL East is a division that I think the competition level historically, you know, recent history has been real high, and I think you've got to take that into account.
How much money did Vegas take off the people last week?
Well, I tell you, you know, I said this on an earlier show, and it's one of my favorite sayings. I know some really smart bettors that have trouble making the rent, and I know some really stupid bookmakers who drive Cadillacs. 26 Super Bowls now that we have to the penny accounting in Las Vegas. It was something that Nevada mandated 26 years ago, and we've had it now for all that time. Right now, the sports books are 24-2 against the bettors in net. So there's only been 2 years that in net overall the bettors won. This year, this is just Nevada now, the sports books won over $13 million, third biggest win ever during those 26 years. Wow. And the prior record for overall handle in Nevada was $119 million on just the Super Bowl. This year, $132.5 million over an 11% upswing. So what we're seeing is, I think, sports betting trending upwards, and we're also seeing the in-game betting and all the props and all the different ways you can bet getting more and more popular. And we might not have time to talk about the national anthem controversy because there was a controversy on the over-under. What really struck me, though, there was an online book. And remember, you can't even bet this in Vegas. It's just online because there's so much subjectivity to the length of the national anthem, because when do you start, when do you finish, which is really what drove the controversy. But what really struck me was that one of the online books, betonline.ag, said they had more money on the national anthem than the Clippers game that day. Oh, so wow. It really shows you. You might hear national anthem length and think, oh, that's one of those bets they just put out for publicity. Maybe so, but ultimately they got more action than the Clipper game on how long it took Lady Gaga to sing the national anthem.
Well, yeah, talk about that controversy a little bit, because she said brave a second time, and that was the crux of the whole thing, right?
Yeah, so the over-under was 2 minutes, 16 and a half seconds, so you could bet over or under. And it ended up that if you went from the first note to the last note, it was 2 minutes and 20 seconds, so over by, you know, a couple of seconds. And you might think that's easy enough, right? But at the end of the song, she sung a second, kind of the very end with the Home of the Brave. She kind of did a reprise or whatever, repeated it. And if you would have stopped at the first Brave, it was 2 minutes and 9 seconds. So it was under the 2 minutes and 16 and a half seconds. So really, literally, some people who bet the over got paid, and some people who bet the under got paid, and vice versa. Some people who bet the over at certain books lost, some that bet the under lost. And I do think this is one area where Vegas really has it right. You need objective assessments of any kind of bet, because, listen, we all look at things through our own prism, our own perspective, and it's just so hard to have money on something and then they make a subjective decision that goes against you, and you, not one, resent it, number two, think it's, you know, fakes. I bet they had more money on the over, that's why they wanted to pay the under. And it's really just such a negative brand wise customer experience wise for the books. But this was a great example of where subjectivity runs into a lot of problems.
I was on Team Gaga, Team Over, so I didn't mind it.
Did you bet it?
I did.
And you got paid?
I did get paid.
There we go. See, you were fine with it then.
My biggest prop was Orange Gatorade, though. Orange Gatorade is not only delicious, but Red Gatorade, like, sits on your belly when you're working out. It's not good for you. Like, it's heavier than regular, than orange. And then Blue is just gross, and that was the other option. So Orange, to me, was a lock.
And did that win?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
But you know what's funny, though? Is one of the online books, I think it was Bovada, about 2 hours, I think, before the game, maybe even sooner or more closer to the game than that, actually said they're taking that bet off the board because they were getting so much action on yellow. So there was so much action on yellow, they thought that it had escaped. You know, obviously they got to mix that up at a certain point, and they thought that inside information was being bet. So at that point, I know I actually tweeted that out. I'm not sure if you saw, but you probably felt pretty pessimistic about the orange bet.
I didn't see it, but no, I felt good about the orange bet just because it's orange, and orange is the – if If Gatorade would bring back citrus cooler like in the Michael Jordan days, then that sort of yellowish orange color would be back into play. But lemon lime, nobody's drinking that for a whole Super Bowl. Orange is the way to go.
There you go.
All right, that's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Check out his radio show. He does a great job. RJ, as always, appreciate the time, my friend, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Well, what's great is now that we got football behind us, we can dig into a World Series of poker. We can dig into all kind of crazy betting because, really, it's 365 days a year. But this is the one day a year where there's the one of the handful with the least action. No NBA, very little college basketball because of the All-Star break. So right. It really is maybe one of a handful of days in Vegas that the sports bettors, the professionals, have a vacation.
All right. Well, we never take a vacation from betting, so there you go.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bud. RJ Bell, pregame.com. All right, guys. You know, one cool thing here, I'm talking about getting a burger here, and I could do that because quick weight loss, you get to eat things like that. And it's not just when you're where I am, which you've already lost the weight you want and you're just trying to keep it off. Even on the program, man, you get to eat real food. And that's the best part about it. You're still going to lose weight. As long as you stick to this program and do what they tell you, you're going to lose weight. You're going to feel better about yourself. You are going to be a happier, healthier person. That's where I am right now. 50 pounds ago, I wasn't. But thanks to quick weight loss, here I am. You can lose more weight faster, easier, up to 100 pounds or more. No exercise required, no prepackaged meals. And right now, you can get 6 weeks for $66, all weight loss services included, and kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, visit one of their 15 Houston area locations. Go to quickweightlosscenter.com or give them a call right now, 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Sam Houston Race Park where the food trucks are here. There's some good-looking stuff out there, too, man. I'm telling you. And food, too. But, yeah, I'm going for the soul food.
Yeah,
have to.
But didn't you get a burger?
Their burgers are great, man. I'm telling you. Trust me on this.
Soul food burger.
It will change
seems
your life.
Odd to me.
It does, but trust me. It's Houston's finest soul food. Their burgers are fantastic. And they don't pay me to say that.
I think I never would have thought to order.
I know.
A
well, I wouldn't have either.
Like
and then I saw somebody get one time when the food trucks were down by our place. I'm like, I'm going to try that, and I did. I was like, holy bleep, this is good. All right, the official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device on the all-new ESPN975.com. All right, time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
You know, it's funny how many people tell me their kids sing along with that whenever we play it. So you become bigger than Katy Perry in some cars. All right, this is Walmart. It's not quite Florida, but it's Tennessee, which it might as well be. You know, it's the Midwest version of Florida. Where a man faces charges for urinating in a Walmart store, which is not unusual, let's be honest. Anybody who's been to Walmart has probably seen a pile of urine. But it's why how it happened. He was trying to put a package of trout in his trousers.
Trout.
Exactly. A worker told an officer that the suspect, David Wiley of Clarksville, was seen urinating on the sales floor near the alcohol while trying to put a package of trout in his pants. And, of course, leaving the store without paying. That's, is that a fish in your pants or what? Yeah. He told him he did urinate. Wiley told the officer he did indeed urinate on the floor, but was not concerned because it's a misdemeanor. Now, what if you pee on the trout and then pee on the floor and then somebody else buys the trout? Would that turn it into something else?
I don't know.
Well, he...
this whole thing is just disturbing.
Apparently, he said he had been consuming alcohol. Shocker. He repeatedly said to the officer that he was not concerned with being cited for either offense. The officer wrote, Wiley's statements as well as the detection of alcohol led me to believe that the offenses were likely to continue. The 56-year-old man, my goodness, was arrested and charged with shoplifting, vandalism, indecent exposure, and public intoxication.
All right.
The value of the items he attempted to take was $130. $130 worth of trout. And the vandalism...
That's a lot of trout.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know how you get that much trout in your pants. I know I can't. I mean...
Yeah.
Anyway, even with really loose pants, I just don't see
frozen how... Frozen or not frozen?
Well, it does...
Because that's got to be uncomfortable if it's frozen. I mean, it's probably uncomfortable not frozen, but...
Wouldn't the frozen have probably helped him with the other problem? If it was frozen?
I don't know.
I mean, because if it's nice warm
trout... I've never
trout,
tried to put a frozen fish in my pants. I don't know what my body's
but
reaction would
if
be.
If you put something warm there, doesn't it encourage you? If you put something cold, it doesn't?
Well, okay. There's a difference between warm and frozen. Where I'm saying, was it like fresh fish or like frozen trout?
Well, it's Tennessee. How fresh could it be?
Well, I'm sure it's not like cooked trout. I mean... So it could be like if you go to the fish market, right, they've got it sitting on ice where you can take it out and you can cook it right away. Or it could be like a bag of frozen trout in the freezer, which is a different subject.
I'm not really sure because they don't say. They just say it was a bag of trout. I'm guessing it probably was frozen because it was
a bag
of trout. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That would be the safest assumption. Anyway, he was booked into the jail for $2,000 bond, and that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Okay, Double Down gets tweet of the day. Wouldn't that...
Tweet of the day.
So, well, he says hashtag bad joke of the day, but wouldn't that be a piss demeanor? It is a bad joke of the day.
That is the worst joke of the day.
I like it. Anyway.
Come on.
You know what, though? He probably left his car out front, and what he should do with it is, to make up for all the bad things he's done, is donate it to my friends at Houston Can Academies. And you know what's going to happen? They'll come tow it free of charge. It'll even be a tax donation. It'll help pay for that fine. And you know what? They'll even give him a $50 Visa gift card so he doesn't have to steal the trout next time. He can just buy the trout. That's a great thing about if you donate your vehicle. And I know you guys, a lot of you have extra vehicles that you just haven't used in years. They're in terrible shape. They're just sitting out there. They're an eyesore. Well, do something good with them, man. Donate them to Houston Cars for Kids. They're going to come pick it up. They'll tow it free of charge. They'll take care of all the paperwork. It's quick. It's easy. All you have to do is sign a couple papers. Boom. You got a tax donation. You get a $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. And you're going to be doing great things with this because they take those vehicles and the money they get from that, that donation goes to help kids who are getting a second chance at Houston Can Academies. These are kids who dropped out and now... They're in school again because Houston Can Academies cares, man, and they work with these kids, kids that have had problems, at-risk kids. Give them another chance. They go on. They graduate. They do great things. That's what your donation does. You can change a lot of lives, man, just by getting rid of something that you're not using anymore. It's very simple. Give them a call today, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.